Borough Talks is the Borough Market podcast with me, Julia Crouch. Join us as we sit down with the chefs and traders influencing how we eat today, exploring the ideas, traditions, and passions that shape our food culture. Follow on Spotify and join us for conversations worth savouring.
What if you wake up stiff? If your body hurts more than it used to? If stress lives in your shoulders? If you've tried stretching, supplements, massage, and it still comes back, this episode is for you. Because what if pain isn't just physical? What if it's a message? So I have here Jen, because she's going to teach you why in today's world, people are going through so much when it comes to chronic pain, and how it might not just be, you know, numbing symptoms, but it's about changing how your body responds to it. First of all, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. I'm really touched that you're one of our guests today, and I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about pain. Now, why are there so many people living in constant low-grade pain and thinking it's normal?
Sometimes, unintentionally, pain becomes part of our identification. And when people get stuck, we call it like a roundabout of pain. It just is its own self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's things that we know contribute. Fear contributes, disability, avoidance, disuse, and these things can lead to depression and other mental health challenges. And then they are stuck in the roundabout. And when you're stuck in that roundabout, you start to lose hope. And when you start to lose hope, then pain becomes your identity. And so what I really want to give your readers, well, your audience is hope, because we now have the science to help people with longstanding pain. And it is unique for every single person because everyone's pain story is unique. And so we're using the science and the evidence and artfully applying it to each individual.
Oh, I love that. Now, so many people say it's just aging, it's stress, it's my job, it's my hormones. At what point does pain shift from temporary to chronic?
That partially depends on what country you live in. It partially depends on what part of the country you live in. And so most of us in school, we learn that acute pain, that early onset pain, is generally 3 to 6 months. Okay. However, it's more complicated than that, because we can see someone, two different people who've had a very similar car accident, and things that have gone on in one person's life is going to be a predictor of, are they more or less likely to have chronic pain a year from now, 5 years from now, versus the other person? And so what we do know, we are very clear in the research, we know tissues heal. Tissues are going to be healed, muscles, ligaments, tendons, all those things, within about 6 months, give or take. And if pain is persisting, this is when we have to get more curious about what are other things going on in this person's life that's contributing to their pain. And this is a really good time to also say that all pain is real. Pain scientists have never scanned fake pain. So if someone tells you it's all in your head, you can't have pain that much, just get up, walk away, and find someone who understands.
I love that. I love that. Now, when people feel pain, they chase relief. You know, ice, heat, pills, massage, temporary fixes. What does relief not equal resolution?
When does relief not equal resolution? I think we need to get more curious with each individual. And honestly, part of the work that I do is the base is education. It's called pain neuroscience education. The research is super clear. When we teach people about pain, they have less pain. It's also super clear that it's not a standalone treatment. Exercise is our second best option. So merging those two together is so important. And then what's really exciting is we have 20 plus other evidence-based strategies. And so we actually want to promote relief as long as we are introducing things that are sustainable and creating longer term safety in the nervous system. Because it really comes down to threat. If your nervous system perceives a threat, even if it's real or not, you will have pain. So we need to lower that threat level so that the system is like, we're good. We can go for a mile walk. We can drive in the car for an hour. We can pick our grandkids up off the ground.
I like that. Now, what's the biggest misunderstanding about pain?
There are many myths. One you already brought up is that aging and pain are synonymous. They are not. And a lot of times, what happens is that people become more sedentary for whatever reason. And movement is just so essential for all aspects of our health and also very essential for pain. So, pain and aging do not go together. There are some things that are a normal part of aging. We're all going to need bifocals at some point, and that's okay. We're all going to get wrinkles, and that's okay. But pain is not and does not need to be a normal part of aging.
Now, why does pain usually keep coming back?
You have an example? I could come up with one, but I'm just curious, is there something that prompted that question?
Well, I think of, like, let's say lower back pain. People they get treated and their lower back pain goes away, and then shortly after their pain in their back starts to come back. Same thing with shoulder pain and things like that.
Yes, because pain is so much more than whatever is going on in the tissues. And we have people that have beautiful tissues, beautiful scans, full mobility and strength, but they have debilitating pain. And then we also have the opposite, where people have horrendous looking scans, but they have no pain. And that's another one of the myths, is that we need to break apart that tissue damage and pain do not go together. And we have very good research. We actually call them yellow flags. What are things going on in our lives that can raise the sensitivity of your nervous system? And some of the key areas we have ongoing pain, multiple treatments, financial issues, work issues, family issues, and all of these things, they're just like, ticking the box a little bit up. And so if you have a lot of those present, then this can set you up for more episodes of pain. And then again, in the very beginning, your system starts to identify with that. That seems like normal, but we need to create a new normal.
Yes, I like that. Now, when you say painless for a life or more, what does that actually look like?
All right. So I love this phrase. It's painless, because people are often telling me they want to be pain-free. Pain-free is not only not possible, no one actually wants to be pain-free. Think about it for a moment. If you put your hand on a hot stove and you didn't know it until you smelled burning flesh, that is a problem. Pain is normal. It is a wonderful, beautiful protection. And the challenge is when our system begins protecting us too well. And the way I describe it to clients is like a house alarm. If I threw a brick through your front window, you'd want your house alarm to go off, right? But if somebody messed with the sensitivity of the alarm and a leaf hit your window, your house alarm would go off, but your house is okay. And so I ask my clients, is it possible that your house, your body's okay? And we need to focus on the sensitivity of the alarm. And so that is a lot of the work we do. And when you keep having repetitive pain, we have to get more curious about lifestyle medicine as well. Sleep has a huge impact on pain. Stress and pain, they often go hand in hand. It is not uncommon for someone, you even said it, I hold my stress in my shoulders. Well, that is still an elevation of the nervous system. How do we help you experience stress? Because stress is going to happen without having this negative impact on your nervous system and therefore pain.
Now, so basically being painless for is it's not being perfect, it's not perfect, it's not symptom free, But painless, is it mobility?
It's whatever is important to you.
I like that. I like that. So if someone's listening right now and they feel tight or inflamed or overwhelmed or drained, like what would be the three things they can do this week to start shifting their body out of pain mode?
I like that question because I've created the Empower You framework, and the E and the M and the P are those three things. So the E stands for education. We know that understanding how pain works in a way that makes sense to you, the individual, is really important. It is no different than having to understand how to be a barista at a coffee shop or how to be
Right.
an auto mechanic or a surgeon, right? And unfortunately, we are asking people who are really struggling with pain to navigate something that they don't even understand. So the
Right.
first one is finding reputable sites. I have lots of other podcasts on my website if you want to start to learn more about this, but starting to get curious and understanding how pain works. The M stands for motion is lotion because movement is absolutely essential. We talked about the nerves and the nervous system getting closer to that threshold. Well, movement and blood flow helps calm the nerves down. So
Right.
movement is absolutely essential. And people often ask, what kind of movement? I don't care. Movement that you enjoy, movement that you can do and feel good afterwards is going to help your nervous system. And then the
Right.
P, this is where you have so much choice. This is powering down the nervous system. Some people like yoga, go for it. Some people like journaling, use it. Laughter is even an evidence-based way to start to ease pain. So there's really a lot of choice. But those are some areas that people can start to get curious.
I love that. Now let's go deeper. Is it un is in unresolved emotions stored in the body?
Wessel van der Beek, he is the absolute expert on that. And his book is The Body Keeps the Score. And so, yeah, is it stored in the body? Our brain has multiple systems that run everything. And so we talk about this a little bit like a pain meeting. And so when there is a threat and your brain has to have a meeting about it, how dangerous is this for Stacy? And it might think, okay, we need to pull in five people from the muscle department. We need to pull in three people from the focus and attention department. We need to pull in eight people from the digestion department. Well, we all know when we are in a staff meeting, we are not doing our regular jobs. So if there are five people in the muscle meeting, that means you may have sore and stiff muscles. If there are three people in the focus and concentration, then that may mean that you forget a dentist appointment on Tuesday. If you've got 10 people in the digestion, this is somebody who's got constant IBS symptoms for weeks on end. And so when we're trying to make this distinction of is the body holding it? The nervous system remembers everything because its job is to protect you. And so its protection may show up as pain because it remembers that trauma that happened.
Right.
And it is mind-blowing to me. Your brain processes 11 million pieces of information every second. And so its job is to protect you. And that's a lot of information. And so a lot of times people get really caught up in why did I have this happen?
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll know, but we don't often because of those 11 million pieces.
Yeah.
Rather, how can you understand what's going on with your system and what are your options to get out of the roundabout and onto the life you want?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, can stress create real physical symptoms?
All pain is real. All pain is physical and emotional. We actually can't separate them. So, yes, you can have significant emotional stressors and feel that physically, and they're both happening at the same time, just in varying degrees. And you
Yes.
can also have, you can sprain your ankle and have significant emotional stressors. Think about if you just sprain your ankle walking down the street, having a good day, it's going to hurt. Think about if you sprain your ankle at a job that you hate, your boss abuses you, you work 14-hour days. That is a different emotional situation, and it's going to impact the pain you feel.
That's so true. That is so true. You hit it. Now, how does trauma show up physically?
Wherever the body needs to protect you, wherever, not the body, wherever the nervous system needs to protect you. And so in my world, outside Wessel van der Beek, because he is by far the expert here, let's just say somebody sprained their knee or, tore their ACL while they were skiing. It is not uncommon around the anniversary date for that person to have an uptick in pain. It's also not uncommon if they're in cold weather to have an uptick in pain. And that's because of those 11 million pieces of information. Your brain is constantly doing what it needs to do to protect you. Sometimes it gets a little bit of information and then it fills in the blank. Like to me, it's very interesting. Our vision, we can actually only focus on something the size of a quarter, but our brain is so amazing. Based on our experiences and our exposures, it fills in the blank so that you and I see each other very clearly on the screen. It's similar for pain, right? The brain gets some information. It has to figure out what else has happened, what have we experienced, what do we believe, what did we learn as kids, and very quickly decide this is dangerous. Stacy needs pain, or she's good. Keep going.
Now, how do people actually begin addressing that safely?
Addressing what? Creating the
When trauma,
safety?
creating the safety when trauma shows up physically, when it and you know, how do people begin addressing that safely?
That's going to depend on the person. So, some people are going to really need to start more with a psychologist or a counselor. And depending on how it shows up, they may be able to work with a physical therapist or an occupational therapist who is well trained in pain science. And when we can get multiple providers that all are speaking the same language, this is going to be the best fit for that person. And it's going to depend on how it's showing up. If they are having back pain and we can connect to trauma, it's important to know that that trauma is one piece of their story. And that trauma is outside of my scope, working on that trauma. What's inside of my scope is helping them understand there's more to your back pain than your back muscles and your joints. And can we get curious about your sleep? Can we work on getting some movement for you? Can we work on, eating less junk food every day or whatever it might be? And so again, it's a unique treatment plan for each person based on what they bring to the table and what's important to them. And then we have to decide which are the best healthcare providers for them in that moment.
Now, if someone becomes like painless, how does that, what becomes actually possible for that person?
Whatever they want. I like to say you can do anything, you can't do everything. Could I train myself to be a skier? I could, but I have zero desire to do that. So that's not going to happen. And I cannot, even if I wanted to be a skier, I can't be a high-level skier and basketball player and gymnast and ice skater, right? We cannot do everything. And so I had a client once, she literally started walking 2 minutes at a time. And she now sends me pictures in Budapest, hiking, Austria. I can't remember the most recent one. And she just did it a little at a time. Don't expect to go from 2 minutes to 2 miles in a week, a month, or 2 months. But in time, we get there. And what's really exciting is that we see this in the research too. As your function improves, your symptoms get less. So instead of being focused on, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt, the focus shifts to, oh, yeah, I hurt. Oh, but I'm a soccer mom. Oh, I love playing with my grandchildren. Oh, I'm going to go to the opera, whatever it might be.
Yeah. So I assume that also helps with your confidence level.
Oh, yes. Because people feel that hopeless point, they're stuck in the roundabout,
Yeah.
they don't have any idea what to do. And the reality is, they really have a lot more control over their pain than they think. Because pain is information. Think about it. You put your hand on a hot stove. Aren't you so glad you got that information so you could take your hand off?
Yeah.
Now, let's say you put your hand on a hot count, a warm countertop from the sun, but you weren't expecting it to be warm. You were expecting it to be cool, like it always is. You might pull
Right.
your hand away. It's still information, but quickly you'll be like, oh, that's just a warm countertop. And you might even think, ooh, that feels nice because the rest of the countertop is cool.
Yeah. That's really, it's really amazing when you can actually start to be more mobile, how your whole mentality, not just your physical body, but your mentality changes completely. And then even relationships get even better. People develop better and stronger relationships when, pain is no longer an issue.
You are correct. And we have research in that area too, right? In general, families, they can either be punitive or enabling, right? That's a dramatic
Yes.
example, but if a woman is really struggling with pain and the husband is always demanding dinner the moment he gets home, that's a problem. It's
Yeah.
also a problem if the husband comes home and he's like, you can't do anything because of your pain. And so we have to find this place between being punitive and enabling and
Yeah.
working together. I see it. My clients who have supportive partners and families, it just makes a tremendous difference in their rehab.
Now, do you have any suggestions for people who, when they wake up in the morning, they feel stiff, it's really hard for them to move when they get out of bed, and they struggle each morning getting out of bed because their body feels so stiffened? Is there something they could do at home that would actually help loosen their body up in the morning? Because I know sometimes there could be certain little exercises you can do at home, that could actually help improve the way you're feeling and help you towards that painless life.
Yeah. So that again is going to depend on the body part. I often encourage my clients to find some movements that feel good in bed before you're getting out of bed. And then I also use a fair amount of imagery and visualization. And
Yeah.
so if while they're laying in bed, they can just imagine themselves getting up, going to the bathroom, going to get their coffee, whatever it is, because the same parts of our brain fire. If you and I are watching a basketball game, the
Right.
same parts of our brains fire as if we were actually playing basketball. So, how do we use that to our advantage? Now, the bigger thing, if you wake up with stiffness, I want to get curious with you about your sleep because sleep and pain are really, really connected. Are you getting quality sleep? What's your sleep hygiene? Are there some nutritional things to consider? Even airway? And so there's a whole lot that goes into sleep as well. But something tangible, practical, right away, or an Epsom salt bath the night before, that could
Yeah.
work wonders too.
Oh, I love that idea. I love that idea. I actually have like an Epsom salt bath that I do, and it helps tremendously. And it also not only does it help with the pain, but it also helps with bringing that level of calmness to a certain degree where you feel relaxed and you could actually get a good night's sleep a little bit better than what you normally would when you do those activities.
Yeah, because Epsom salt is magnesium, and magnesium has like 300 functions for us. But the ones that I highlight with my clients are muscle function, nerve function, brain function, anxiety, and sleep. So everything you've just said, yes.
I love it. I love it. Now, you have a deck of cards that you've created. Can you tell us a little about those?
Ew, I'm so excited. These are pretty new. I think I just launched them in November. This is called the Painless Cards for a Life of More. 52 cards, just thought and motivation. There's six different categories, and you want me to read one or two? Pick a card.
Yeah.
What number? 1 to 52. What number?
Five.
Five. Card number five. Okay, so here it is, just for brief. Pain fluctuates, so will you. Expect ups and downs. This is normal and how your nervous system works. Celebrate every improvement, even 1%.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, that's
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Could we do one
So it
more?
also it comes, yeah, we could do one more. Yeah, go
All
for it.
right.
What number?
17.
17. Okay, we're still in the education section. Fun fact, empowerment, self-advocacy in care puts you in the driver's seat where you belong. Speak up for yourself. Even a small change matters.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Thank you.
And where can people find those?
Yeah, so the easiest place is my website, which is jenushold.com. And for your listeners, I have a freebie of these, which is just six example cards. And then also I will give we'll have a coupon code to get 15% off of the entire deck if you'd like. It's a digital product, but those in the US, if they want the actual cards, that will be an option as well.
Now, can you tell us some of the services that you provide?
Yes, for those who are in Virginia or DC, I am a physical therapist, and so I do still do see physical therapy clients. I also am doing more and more online coaching. I call myself the painless coach, and this is working really well because yes, the manual hands-on therapy is one of our 20 strategies, but it's not an essential strategy for everyone. So there's so much we can do in that environment. And then I teach pain science for a company called Evidence in Motion. I also teach lifestyle medicine, and I am doing more and more speaking at conferences because I really want to get this message out that you can be painless for life.
I love that. I love that so much. Now, once again, tell everybody your website.
JenUschold.com.
And if we had to, from this conversation, what are three things you'd like the listeners to walk away with today?
All pain is real, 100%. Tissue damage and pain are not the same thing, they're very different. And simply with education, movement, and powering down your nervous system, you can make a tremendous impact on your pain. And this is all supported by evidence.
I love it. I love it. And I want everybody out there to remember that pain is not weakness, it's information. And when you learn how to listen to your body instead of fight it, everything changes. So, Jen, my final question for you, if someone is listening and feels stuck in their body right now, what is the first shift they should make?
In this exact moment, I would encourage them to take some breaths with a long, extended exhale because that long exhale physiologically lowers your heart rate. And when your heart rate gets lower, your system is not going to be perceiving as much threat. That is a right here in the now strategy.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And for anyone out there, if this episode helped you rethink pain, follow the show because here we don't normalize suffering, we solve it. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show today. This has been amazing. I know I would really love to have you back because I really would love to dive deep into like chronic pain and really talk, to the listeners about different ways that you could help people and help them understand and help them, really learn how to cope with, with chronic pain. So I really like to invite you back to the show. You're amazing today. I love the
Thank you.
cards that you created. I
Thank
love
you.
how you your whole approach to thinking, about chronic pain and thinking about being painless, instead of dwelling on the chronic pain, let's think about ways to solve it. And that's your attitude, and that's what I love about it. And so
Thank
I
you.
once again, thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to having you again, and we'll talk soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Oh, you're so welcome. You have a great day.
You too.